Welcome back. I hope your prayer period is very productive for you and you are focusing now on that great virtue of hope. What we're going to do in this second part is sort of see applied hope, how hope really finds its way into our life and how we can respond and how hope can truly give us a very different perspective on the world around us. So we turn our attention to today, to the life we know and the world we are experiencing. We return to the circumstances you left when you entered the Jesu earlier today. But the times are ever with us. It's not a happy world. It's a very messy world. I do not have to recount the issues that confront all of us, regardless of our personal circumstance. It is everything from the surge of ISIS in the Middle East, the immigration debate in this country, the racial tensions generated by Ferguson in New York, the Ebola threat, environmental concerns from global warming to a diminishing water supply, and the economy, even with gas at $2 a gallon. But this is just for starters. This is the context. Then add to all of that your personal circumstances. And with you, we conclude, the world is a mess, and we need hope. Somehow our hope, our Christian hope, should give us some assistance and insight into mediating these tensions as well as rendering them in some way non-threatening or even benign. Interestingly, my friend Blaise Supich, the new Archbishop of Chicago, said at his installation last month, and I quote, "We as a church should not fear leaving the security of familiar shores, the peacefulness of the mountaintop of our self-assuredness, but rather walk into the mess. Walk into the mess that is the real world." So here we have a prominent shepherd saying the world is a mess. And here we have the Holy Father saying that hope is the riskiest of virtues. So I guess we can conclude as we sit here in prayer and reflection this morning that we are hope-filled risk-takers in a messy world. You are, I am, we are hope-filled risk-takers in a messy world. Embedded as we are in the present, we are also creatures of the future. Our whole being looks forward to what we hope for, what we desire. Take away this hope, as I mentioned earlier, and we find ourselves in a wasteland. Human hope is fragile and tentative. No matter how strong our hope, a gap remains between what we have and what we hope for. And though we may try to bridge the distance between the present and the future, no human power can remove the waiting. Ultimately, human hope carries an element of uncertainty. Now, by contrast, with Christian hope, there is no gap, no space between the future and the present, because the kingdom of God is at hand, and God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Our Christian hope, my friends, is rooted in the possession of what is to be revealed, not an expectation of what we are to be given. As the poet Emily Dickinson wrote, quote, "Hope is that thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." Pope Francis knows that hope is not an illusion. Jesus, our hope, renews everything. Hope is a constant miracle, a miracle of what Jesus is doing in the church, the miracle of what Jesus is doing in the church, the miracle of making everything new, of what he does in my life, in your life. He builds and he rebuilds. And that is precisely the reason of our hope. Our hope feeds on the fulfillment of God's promise. Hope casts us into the future.
Hope connects us through the eyes of faith with that which is yet to come. Hope enables a practice of Christian love in a world where suffering prevails. Hope enables a practice of justice in a world defined by unjust civic and social structures and conditions. Hope enables a practice of reaching out to the poor, the migrant, the homeless, as Pope Francis exhorts us to do. Hope enables us to prepare without fear for the judgment associated with the day of the Lord. Hope is what spans the Christian life from birth to our demise. Hope is what allows the Christian to face challenges of this world with courage. Hope gives us the daring to witness, to testify to Jesus' name in an ever hostile world. Hope opens to us the wisdom given us by God. And hope takes the sting out of the last judgment. Now I recall that Thomas Aquinas defined hope as the stretching forth of our desire toward a future good, even if that good is difficult to attain. In other words, Aquinas is saying, hope means choosing to act in ways that lead me closer to what is good, even though the future often is unknown and beyond one's control. So why should we hope? Even in the midst of personal struggles and difficulties, I hear you ask, why should we hope? I think one great reason for hope for the future is recalling how good God has been with us in the past. We cannot see into the future and know exactly how God will bring good out of difficulty. However, in very human ways, ways all of us have experienced, we can remember when and where God has brought good out of past suffering and difficulties. This is the centerpiece of the Gospels, in the heart of the Christian story, the transformation of the suffering and death of Jesus into the resurrection and new life. It is also how God continues to act in our lives. For example, I recall how close friends were working through marital difficulties, which later brought them to a new depth of closeness as they grew in mutual understanding. It was a gradual, incremental, and painful process. I vividly recall when my youngest sister gave birth to a child with Down syndrome. And all of the immediate family were filled with doomsday talk and fear. Today, 34 years later, none of us can imagine life without Sarah and without her winning smile and her piles of Special Olympic medals and accomplishments. A friend shared that the loss of his job and 6 months of unemployment led him to think about changing jobs, a different avenue of work, and now one that eventually led to a much more personal growth than his former job. We've all seen broken relationships, which might not be repaired, but it can open up possibilities for learning more about ourselves and others. And second, we also hope because God is with us right now, encouraging us to love whatever we are. Hope is an action for today, stretching into tomorrow. Hope brings us comfort, immediate and long-term. As you look to the Gospels, we see Jesus as the great dispenser of hope. And when we wish and when we pray, when we make an act of faith, we are in that hope mode. Hope touches our life more than realized. And I think the healing episodes in the gospel bring to light how prevalent is Jesus, the hope maker, in our life. So look at the healing miracles. Place yourself on the receiving end of Jesus' response. The healing of leprosy, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. And he sent them away cleaned. What kind of spiritual ailment do we have? What real health issues do we face? What is our form of leprosy or society's ailments? Name them, and they will be made clean. Healing the lame and the cripple, we hear, is it lawful to heal someone on the Sabbath? And we hear in response, take up your mat and walk. What are the elements of your life that cripple? What relationships cripple us? What opinions cripple us mentally and emotionally? What addictions keep you from walking in the light as your own person? Take up your mat and walk. The healing of demons. We hear, he forces out demons by the power of Beelzebub. And we hear, and the demon left her. What demons haunt our memories, paralyze us, prevent us from being the person we want to be, the person we really are? What old resentments, pinned up anger, what unforgiving and unforgiven experience troubles you and keeps you prisoner in your own skin? And the demons left her. The healing of blindness. This is Jesus' most frequent healing, mentioned 16 times in all four Gospels. What do you want of me? We hear. Lord, that I may see. And he saw. So how are we blind? Let me count the ways. I leave this one totally up to you. Healing hunger, feeding the crowds. We hear, Lord, they are hungry and this is an abandoned place. We have but 5 small rolls and 2 fish. And we hear, and they ate and had their fill. What do you hunger for today? What spiritual solace do you seek? What are the deepest desires of your heart for yourself, your family, your business, your friends? And they ate and had their fill. These miracles, my friends, and the impact of Jesus' followers are all acts of hope. They represent instances of the impossible made possible. They make the future possible. Our Holy Father Francis helps us bring this reflection to an end. Now recall, he said that hope was a risky virtue. It has an ardent expectation that Jesus will respond. It is not an illusion. The pontiff stresses that because Jesus renews all things, hope is a constant, reflecting that this is the miracle of what Jesus is doing in the church. The miracle of making everything new, of what Jesus does in your life, in my life, in our life. He builds and he rebuilds. That is precisely the reason of our hope. Christ is faithful. He cannot renounce himself. That is the virtue of hope. Christ is faithful. He cannot renounce himself. That is the virtue of hope. We end with 2 of my favorite quotes concerning hope. In the book of Sirach, we find, quote, those who fear the Lord will not be timid or play the coward, for the Lord is in their hope. Quote. And from Thomas a Kempis, that 14th century mystic, we find, quote, truly, on the day of judgment, we shall not be examined on what we have read or what we know, but by what we have done. Not on how well we have spoken, but how religiously we have lived
and how well we have hoped. How well we have hoped.